Hallelujah. I'm going to dive straight. Thank you, Paul. I'm going to dive straight into the Word, if you'll stay with me just for a few minutes. Thank you, guys. Won't you give the musicians a wonderful applause? God's goal is always that you would know the Father's love. Listen to 2 Corinthians 13, 14. A passage that I've meditated on, and I've walked with the Lord a number of years, and I'm not trying to pull rank that I'm deeper than you. No. It's some things that become clearer. He says, the amazing grace of the Master Jesus, the grace that said, I will find Pedro where he was as a young high schooler, and I'll walk with him through this journey where he falls and fails. I'll give him undeserved kindness. And that's what God does with us. He brings undeserved kindness. When I fell on my face and I've messed up, I found undeserved kindness in that his love, that his forgiveness. And he says the extravagant love of God the Father. Extravagant means above what you deserve. A sower went out to sow and he sowed seed. And when you read the story, it looks like he's been quite foolish, because normally we talk about planting seeds. But he sows wildly. That's how God's love is. He looks at you and he says, I'll pour out my love upon you, and you don't deserve it. While you were a sinner, God sent his son because he loved you so much. Romans chapter 5. But then it introduces the vocabulary of the Trinity, Jesus, Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us understand the father image, because believe it or not, we've all had fathers. Some of our relationships may have been difficult. We'll all understand Jesus because we were taught and we know that there was a cross. But when we talk about the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit, we kind of get a little confused about that. We're not too sure what that means. In the old translation, they speak about the Holy Ghost. And the only ghosts I remember reading as a little boy was Casper, the friendly ghost. Now, I'm not making light of this. I worked as a student in the South African Library Services. So in other words, you get paid to get books for people who are researching. They're not allowed to take them. In the cold winter's nights, in the dark, and the wind blowing, and there's long corridors, and there were stories told about the people that walk in these corridors. Ek het my bang geskrik. So that's ghost. But actually, the word ghost, it's a poor translation. It means the spirit that breathed life in you. Ruach in the Old Testament, pneuma in the New Testament. It's the life-giving breath. He says, I want you to get to know that one. I want you to know that. And last week, Bobby preached and shared about the Holy Spirit wants to empower you. How to face life challenges, because Jesus told us in John chapter 16, verse 33, in this world you will face many trials. You will face many sorrows. That's what he told them. But I'm going to send you the helper, the Parakletos, the Spirit, one who's just like me. Alios is the Greek word. The same substance as me. This morning I want to talk to you about God's greatest desire for you. God's dream, and it was very interesting that a parent's dream for their child never dies. The older I've got, I've realized that I've had dreams, not that they would be like me, but they would somehow reflect some of the things of my life, my three sons, and now my grandchildren. You see, I believe God's greatest desire, and that's what I'm going to share on this morning, for you and I, for you and me, is that we live in the fullness of the image of His Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I want you to be like my Son. I want you to know that's my dream, that you would be the firstborn amongst many brethren. That's us. I want you to know that He's your closest brother. I want you to be like my Son, Jesus. See, from creation, that was His dream. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. This is His prayer, Paul, and this is my prayer. And that's my longing. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with the inner strength through His Spirit. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. He said, I don't want you to struggle. I want you to know that it's in your reach and it's in your grasp to live a life of inner strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. Paul longed for that. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for your kindness. In Galatians chapter 4, verses 19, I want you to hear what he says, how he feels. This is how God feels. This is Paul carrying the burden. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue. Continue until Christ is formed, fully developed in your lives. He says, I want you to live like my Son. And you say, well, that's impossible. Well, no, you can never be Jesus, but you can be like Jesus. You can be an allios of Jesus. That means the same kind of behavior, because you have the Spirit of God living in you. Paul longs for that. Paul longs to come along, the Holy Spirit to come alongside you. So this morning, in a few moments that I have, I want to teach on the role of the Holy Spirit playing in your life. The role of the Spirit acting out in your life and empowering you to grow and become more like Jesus. You see, you're never more like God than when you're like Jesus. And God says, that's what I want from my children. You see, that was His purpose when He first created man. When He breathed life in him, He says, you're going to be my children like me. They said in the same likeness He created them. That didn't mean that you're a perfect replica, that you yourself will never, can't be God, but you can be like Him. Listen to Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. For from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to Him should become like His Son. The older translations talk about conformed. The original meaning of that word in the original language means conforming means to go through a process that someone does to shape something and someone into the likeness of another image. In other words, I want you to reflect the image that my Son is. To have the same essence, the same substance of another image. Now that's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you came to Jesus Christ, you received the Holy Spirit, because no man can call Jesus Lord unless you have the Holy Spirit. Jesus breathed on them. in the book of John, chapter 20. Next week, Pastor James will teach more on the encounter of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said, for you to become, I'm not going to let you try and struggle and cringe through this thing on your own. In John 14, he says, I will ask the Father, he'll give you another helper. He will be with you forever. The enabler, the helper means enabler. It means empowerer. It means paracletus, someone who will walk with you and you won't have to fight this battle on your own. You see, you can't change yourself in your own strength. No amount of strong-willed determination, no amount of your abilities can change your heart. You can change your behavior and you can have behavior modification, but you can't change your heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the Spirit of God, the one who raised Christ from the dead, is the same Spirit that lives in you, in you, in you. When you said yes to Jesus, the Spirit came to live within you. So all your efforts and your own strength, I'm going to change. There has to be a transformation of the heart. Because you will become what you love. You will worship what you love. You'll give attention to what you love. It'll become the priority of your life. When your heart is changed. Many years ago, there was a pop group known as The Flames. Just put your hands up if you remember. Oh, yeah. You dated. And they sing, for your precious love. I'm not going to sing the song, Paul. The song goes, for your precious love, I climb the highest mountain. I swim the deepest sea. And this guy used to sing that song to his girlfriend. Oh, and he would sing it to her. And one day when I marry you, I'll climb the highest mountain. But I can't come tonight. It's raining too much. Now I'll walk through the rain and the storm. Because my heart has changed. The Spirit of God, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. Becoming like Jesus is a lifelong process. It is not an event. Surrendering to Him is a daily, sometimes hourly, sometimes moment by moment. In the works of Mark, the words of Mark Lothering, give me time on my own and I can get foolish. Without Jesus, you don't want to know what kind of person I can become. The Holy Spirit takes you on a process. But Holy Spirit changing you is your participation, your surrendering, your willingness. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And as the Spirit of the Lord works within you, as He works within you, we become more and more like Him. The challenge is not you're going to come forward, we're going to lay hands, and all of a sudden you are going to be a different person. No, you're going to have to work with Him. He will empower you, but He will work with you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Out of His glorious, unlimited resources, He will give you the mighty inner strength of His Holy Spirit. He said, He'll do it. You yield, He'll do it. You become putty in or clay in His hands. The prophet Jeremiah says He will shape you. But putty or clay that's hard can't be molded. He's talking about our hearts. Out of the heart flows the wellspring of your life. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 22 says, out of you, guard your heart because it's the wellspring of your life. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to captivate your heart. And from the heart, there's a change. And so often Christians do what we call behavior modification. They do the right things, but you know their heart is not there. I listened to a story this week of a lady that lived with a husband who was having an extramarital affair, but she didn't know. But she did know. She couldn't name it, but she knew it. And the reason was, his heart wasn't with me anymore. You see, Jesus wants to transform your heart. Now, Galatians chapter 5. It's a long passage, and I'm just going to glean through that because I want to come to a point of sharing some of my journey of getting to know the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit speaks, and the Holy Spirit guides, and the Holy Spirit leads. But you can't be led without a heart that's willing to follow. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 26, Paul covers this. Paul was speaking to the Galatian church that had come to faith on how to live by the power of the Spirit. He's not talking about the gifts of the Spirit now, that he picks up in 1 Corinthians. But by the way, when we focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talk about the charismatic gifts. Do you know that there are 27 recurring passages that speak about the gift of charisma enabling throughout the New Testament? Not just those 12 gifts. He's daily empowering. And so Paul is writing to them, this group of believers that came to Christ, they received the power of the Holy Spirit, but somehow they got off track. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, he challenges them. You began your life in the Spirit, but the Spirit now, and he says there's a question mark, sorry, now are you trying to make it on your own power? Are you trying to make this thing happen by your own strength? How foolish you are. You can't do it. That's why he's writing to them about the Holy Spirit that will change your life. That'll give you God's greatest desire to see you become more like his Son. You foolish Galatians. I've met Christians that are foolish. They think they can live this life of the Christian walk in their own strength. Tick the boxes and just put it right. He talks about the intimate fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Someone who is always with you. He's living in you. No longer will he live among you. That's speaking of Jesus. He will live in you. The indwelling Holy Spirit. That speaks to young girls that God wants them to be healed. That speaks to me when I go to a shop and I'm irritated because the service is so poor. And I get rebuked as I stand at the bank. Those days we used to go to banks. Today, the bank is in your little phone. Slim mensa. And as I'm feeling irritated and there are people in front of me and the one person is just taking time and time and I'm getting more irritated. And of course, I'm a pastor and I'm a Christian, so I smile. But even as it wouldn't. And as I come to the counter, the desk, the lady looks up and says, "Hello, Pastor, how are you?" James, why are you shaking your head? And I feel the whisper of conviction. Because he wants me to be like his son. And so Paul begins to unpack. And I'm going to highlight, please read, it's a long passage, Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. But Paul opens the passage. And he says these words. Let me just get my reference here. Just give me a minute. In verse 16. He starts off in verse 16 by saying these words. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. Verse 18. But when you are directed by the Spirit, verse 22, when that happens, when He's guiding, when He's leading, when He's influencing, when you're allowing Him to work in your life, you produce something. The nature of Christ. In verse 22, Paul uses this analogy that Jesus used to reflect the nature of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit produces the kind of fruit. And I want you to, first of all, suspend your thought about fruit. It's an analogy. It's speaking about the nature of Jesus Christ. Something will happen. He's trying to tell you fruit grows in you. Fruit is produced in you. In John 15, he told his followers, abide in the vine and you will produce. He's talking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. An intimate relationship. He will produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. 9 characteristics. You know who lived like that? Jesus. There's a whole 3-4 series message just on relating these love, joy, peace to the nature and the behavior of Christ Jesus on earth. And he says, when he lived, that's how he lived. And I want my children to live like this. But you can't produce it on your own. You've got to let my Holy Spirit take control. And this analogy Jesus speaks about in the book of Matthew chapter 7 when he says a good tree produces good fruit, a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about a life. He goes on to say in verses 19 to 21, when you're living in your own flesh, your own strength, in your own desires, when the Holy Spirit is not in control of your life, verse 19, you will follow the desires of your sinful nature, which is very clear. He lists 17 things and much more. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Why? He gives us the key, and I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. Verse 17 is the tipper. The sinful nature wants to do evil. Your heart desires that way, which is the opposite of what the Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit is saying, don't go there. He uses the word repeatedly, guide you, direct you. That word direct is a military term. For those old enough who served in the military, you had to listen to the orders when you all marched. He didn't say, take a walk down to that next bungalow. You marched and someone called out, left, right, left, right, and you walked in tune. That's what it means direct. He says, I want you to come into step with the Holy Spirit. Opposite to the sinful nature, those two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your own intentions. He says, the Holy Spirit is calling you, is talking to you. How do we get to this place? And I'm going to share now from my own experiences and what I learned over all these years. Paul says in verse 24, and those who belong to Christ have nailed the passions and their desires of the sinful nature to this cross and have crucified them there. That means a surrender and a submitting. The key to living in the Spirit is surrendering and submitting. Thank you, Paul. You say to me, that's all good and well, Pedro. I know what I must do now, but how do I do it? And in the next few minutes, I want to share with you a process that God took me on and has taken me on so that I can hear His Spirit whispering, so I can be led by His Spirit, so I can say no to the temptations, so I can say my heart doesn't want that, I'm weak, but I don't want to go that way. Help me, help me, help me. I said to you, it's a daily process. Surrendering is a daily process. It's not a once and for all. It's a journey. There are four things I've learned that I have to avoid and not do. Number one, I mustn't resist the Holy Spirit. When I hear Him prompting me, I must go His way. Acts chapter 7 verse 51 says, you stubborn people, must you forever resist? Resist means keep at bay. Resist in the original language means fending off, walking the long walk. Have you ever found yourself saying, I can do this on my own, I don't need help? Do you know that that's a cover-up often for pride and an independent spirit? And the Holy Spirit says, don't resist me. Second one is, don't quench me. These are the four warning things I keep alert in my life. Don't quench me. And I grew up in church believing that quenching is the music is not right and the people don't sing well, we're quenching. No, the quenching is a personal journey. Do not quench the Holy Spirit means stop putting the flame of God out in your life. Stop just pouring cold water on it. But quench also means quench your thirst. If anyone thirsts, let him come unto me, Jesus said. God, I need to drink more of the Holy Spirit. I need to allow Him. It's an analogy. I need to allow Him to take more control. The third thing is, and not to grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieving means to make someone sad, to hurt, to cause sorrow. The context of where Paul uses that in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed. Then he goes on to describe your relationships with other people. Grieving is the way you treat other people. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander among you and every malice, but be kind and compassionate. He's talking about your relationships. You'll find out how I am doing with Jesus if you find out how I'm in relationship with my wife when I'm in the pulpit. How I'm doing with my fellow brothers and sisters. That's my litmus test. The fourth one is a strange one. It's when you ignore him, neglect him. When you live in a relationship in the same house and you don't greet and don't talk and you just walk past. Those are the four things I've tried. And there are many times I haven't got it right. So don't think of me as getting it all perfect. But I've told you what you mustn't do. I want to give you some action steps that you must do. This is my daily action plan. My daily action plan. Every day. Daily. Number one, I say, Jesus, I'm saved. Holy Spirit, I'm available to you. Holy Spirit, lead me into that meeting that I'm going to have a conversation with this person. Holy Spirit, I met someone. Help me to know what to do with that person. Lord, how can I be of a greater aid? I'm not the great counselor. You are the great counselor. Help me. You have no idea how often we pray. I pray when I'm looking at people. Secondly is be attentive. And that means obey and follow. Be attentive. John chapter 6 verse 13 says, He will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The days, the times that the Holy Spirit has to put His finger on you. Daily I come before Him. And this is my prayer, my connection. So I'm attentive, I'm available, but my connection starts always with my daily confession. Can I share it with you? I write my prayers sometimes, and this is one of my prayers I read to myself. Father, You're so full of mercy. I confess to You and before the whole company of heaven and to others that I have sinned in my thoughts, words, and deeds. And I have failed to do things. I failed to listen. I failed to be available. Cleanse me through the blood of Your Son, Jesus. Restore me to the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And renew me and bring me to life in You. Daily. And when I repent, I wait and I listen. When I pray that prayer, I wait and I listen. And then I repent when the Holy Spirit shares. Remember the harsh word you spoke to someone. I turn away and I say, God, help me not to do that again. But then I also go and seek restoration. Apologies, forgiveness. And then I rely on Him. It's a process I do daily, in the morning, in the evening, sometimes during the day. I want to be intimate with the Holy Spirit. But He wants to be intimate with me. Why would I ignore Him? And as we come to land this morning, this teaching was really about, and the Holy Spirit met with people earlier, the teaching is really about you and your relationship and God's desire for you. Let's pray. Just take a few moments on your own. Holy Spirit, would you just walk across and tap on each one's shoulder and tell them that you want to be their friend? That you long to have intimate friendship with them. That they're loved by you and you good enough. They're good and loving and they are accepted by you. That you draw close. Take a moment, and I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. I'm not asking you to stand. Intimate moments should be shared intimately. Would you pray this prayer after me if that's your desire? To be intimate. Holy Spirit, I come as I am. I surrender to you. I hold you as my Father, my helper, my guide. And I invite you to take control of my life.